Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that the Doobie Brothers and Little Feet have much in common? Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our music podcast. This is the final episode in our Little Feet series. It's a Little Feet series. I want to thank Kevin Clement very, very much for working on this with me, coming up with the idea, and doing all these recordings. It's been a lot of fun. We've been discussing the first two albums, the self-titled Little Feet record from 1971, and their second record, Sail and Shoes, both on the Warner Brothers label. And really enjoyed this conversation and had a lot of fun going back and listening to these records. If you're not a fan of Little Feet, I hope some part of this episode has inspired you to maybe check some out. And you'll hear Kevin on this episode discussing where he thinks you should kind of go if you haven't really gotten into Little Feet. So listen up for that. All right. Without further ado, I want to tell everybody that I've got the big reel-to-reel tapes threaded up here in the Rockin' the Suburbs studio tower, and we are going to hit play on part three of Little Feet. One thing I wanted to ask you about, and we're definitely going to talk, about the cover, too, because it's like, I don't know, it's such an amazing cover, but influence of the New Orleans kind of style, right? That kind of that funk and almost, I don't know. I think for a while when I was first learning about music, I may have had Dr. John and Lowell George mixed up a little bit in my mind, like at first when I could hear like Right Place, Right Time by Dr. John and maybe like Willin' or Sailin' Shoes or Dixie Chicken. To me, they all had that same kind of feel. Do you get that sense, too, that, I don't know, Lowell George, maybe by, I don't know, osmosis or something like that, you know, picked up on that kind of thing? I'm not really sure where it came from Lowell George.
Where he got that influence from, but it was definitely that Delta blues and the New Orleans sound, you know, that just kind of seeped into Little Feet and their music. I don't know how that occurred. I couldn't find anything on how that occurred, but it would be interesting to learn. I don't know if they have any books out on Little Feet, but I may have to go check that out.
You're right. That would be a really, really interesting book. And it's funny because when you look at the career of Lowell George at the beginning, he grew up in L.A. He was like, he played, like, I think he went on TV, you know, early, like with his brother and did kind of a novelty thing. And I know he had a band, an earlier band right before he joined the Mothers of Invention called The Factory that sort of wrote songs like, you know, kind of like pop hits. So it always kind of blew my mind that this soulful kind of thing came out in Little Feet. And that's one of the coolest things I think about Little Feet is that they have that element. It's not like a lot of bands. I mean, other than Dr. John in 1972, there weren't a whole lot of bands playing this kind of music. I mean, maybe Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen or something like that were doing, you know, kind of a funky thing too. But I love that about Little Feet. I just love that they, you know, have this kind of funky aspect to them. The other song I wanted to mention that I wrote down in my notes was A Political Blues. And it's a funny song when you go back and listen to it now. Chairman Mao is calling Lowell George up on the phone. Like he wants to talk to him about like world problems. But it's also the theme of it resonates in 2026, which is crazy too. You know, it's still that same kind of tension between divisive factions and everything that's kind of underneath it all. So that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, Little D was not really what you would call a political band.
No.
But that song really kind of hits the nail on the head. So
it's kind of like they said everything they needed to say in that song and didn't need to go back to that kind of, you know, political.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, yeah, this works. That's all we need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. What others are favorites of yours on this record?
The track at the end, Texas Roots Cafe.
Oh yeah, that I love that one
really,
too.
Really good, good, good. It's really funny. The first two albums, I like the second half of the album of the B side better than the A side. Not to say that the A side, just saying it's kind of one of those things. It's kind of like, yeah, the first few songs are good, but then it gets better and better as the album progresses. Yeah, like Teenage Nervous Breakdown. That's a really kind of odd one, but it's a really cool little tune though.
I love that song. Yeah, I really do. I've recently been going down a little bit of a rabbit hole with the British DJ John Peel, because I discovered this site where all these recordings of his radio show, or like tapes, have been digitized and put on the internet. He loved Little Feat. which I find to be so strange that this, you know, this British guy who was very staunchly British and you know, liked all this T-Rex and Bowie, was a huge Little Feet fan. He played Apolitical Blues and Teenage Nervous Breakdown so many times on his shows. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, to him, that was probably very exotic sounding.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
Way different from a lot of the things he had heard before. So, yeah, that would make sense to some degree.
Yeah, yeah. In kind of our world, the way we see music, it does make sense. I should think more like that about this album. So do you have any info on the cover artist or the cover?
The artist, he went by the name Neon Park.
Right. So weird.
Yeah, I don't remember his real name, but that's the name that he used. And he did the rest of the album covers for them, the next, you know, seven or eight or so. He's a comic artist and illustrator. And so it's kind of weird that this album especially is very strange. At first, I thought it was a teacup that was sitting.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't have a good picture of it or anything. But when I really looked at it, it's like it's actually a cake.
Right. I never realized that until so much longer. Yeah.
But it has arms and legs, like, you know, made into kind of a human, and it's swinging on a tree swing. Just
right.
So it kind of goes with kind of the absurdity, I guess.
It does. Yeah.
To some degree.
And
the cake's shoe is sailing off its foot, which it took me a long time to really put that thing together when I looked at it.
Yeah, and he kind of did that with the rest of the albums. The illustrations kind of went with something from the album itself.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting how he kind of tied it all in.
I love it. And then if you look closely, and I actually only noticed this yesterday, and I've had this album for a long time. In the background to the right behind the cake, there's a sort of a figure standing there. And I don't know what it means, but there is somebody standing there. It doesn't look like a musician. This person is not holding an instrument or anything. And they're almost dressed in like sort of, I don't know, old timey, you know, like 1800s clothes or something like that. It's just an amazing album cover.
Yeah, it kind of had that Antebellum kind of feel to it.
Yes, that's what it is, right?
So, yeah, I think that's kind of exactly what he was going for.
Another thing that ties a band from Los Angeles into this more Southern, you know, tradition, which is just so interesting. So, I don't know. The more I think about Little Feet, the more I realize how underappreciated they might be in many quarters. So, but, you know, in the broader scope, like you were talking about earlier, Kevin, this album, for a second album, represents a massive leap forward for this band and poised them to become, you know, what they were on the next album. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, I think, and maybe this is my own twisted mind thinking about it this way, but I think when I was looking at, like, you know, popular bands from the mid 70s and like the whole landscape, when I was reading about Little Feet, the Doobie Brothers always kind of came up. And, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that the Doobie Brothers and Little Feet have much in common?
That's a tough one.
That was a left field. That was a curveball for you. Sorry.
They both have that Southern rock feel, you know, the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say they're very different styles of band. I would say that Little Feet is more of your serious musician, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely coming from Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, you know, you got to be a serious musician.
Right. Well, that's a great point.
Yeah, and they're kind of more into as to where the Doobie Brothers, they were making some great music, but it was more kind of fun time music and just,
Yeah.
and it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love the Doobie Brothers. I was listening to one of their earlier albums the last week or two ago, and they've got some really good songs. Even the album tracks and all are pretty good too. So, but getting back, would say, yeah, it's just a different way of going about putting the music together, I think would be the difference between those two. But they're both coming together trying to do the Southern rock in different ways, but at all, I could see some similarities and then some differences. So.
Yeah, I think your point about Lowell George coming from the Mothers of Invention is a really good one, because he did have to play a lot of complex stuff with Zappa, and he could do it, you know. But he also wrote songs in a way that wasn't so, and I don't know what you would call Zappa. I mean, he's got so many influences that stretch beyond even, you know, pop influences like classical music and all that other stuff. So a kind of evolved kind of a composition style. But Lowell George wrote in a much more, you know, kind of a soulful, more straightforward way that I tremendously respect. But you're right, there is that underlying musicianship and craftsmanship to Little Feat that I don't know. I like the Doobie Brothers from time to time, but you know, I'd much rather sit around and listen to the catalog of Little Feat than anybody else. So, another album that was very well received by the critics liked Little Feat right out of the gate, which is great. And definitely sold better than the first one, and it kind of established them with Warner Brothers, I think, from this point on. Although, as you alluded to, there are some personnel changes that took place after this. Roy Estrada was no longer the bass player after this album, so the first two albums have that in common. With those are the only two that he played on, and I don't know. I guess in general, the lineup that made the next album, when Kenny Gradney came in on bass and they added Sam Clayton on percussion and Paul Barrar on second guitar, kind of became the classic Little Feat lineup, right?
Yes, more than definitely. More than definitely.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, is the Estrada, he actually left the band to go over to what was he went
That's
to
right.
become part of Captain Beefheart's band.
Right, the Magic Band. That is right. I forgot about that completely.
So the whole, family tree just kind of intertwined
Right.
each other and, all of that.
And it's one of the weirdest family trees when you think about
Yeah,
it, because
definitely. It de definitely musical and produced some really great music, but yeah, de de definitely odd to say the
yeah.
least.
And then, well, you know, I don't know. I'm really enjoying this conversation, so maybe we should save Dixie Chicken and a couple other mid-period Little Feat albums for later. But I mean, it's an incredible run, right? Another. Almost exactly one more year later, they came out with Dixie Chicken, which took them to a whole nother level.
Yeah, it was like every January coming out with a new album. So
Amazing.
it's just, yeah, and the depth of the albums, are so good.
I listened to both these records last night. Now I want to listen to them again after talking about it, for sure.
Definitely. But for the people, yeah, so definitely say that if you listen to the second album, Sailing Shoes, and if you like that, go on to Dixie Chicken, Feet Phone Now, some of those other ones. And then if you really like those, then go back to the original, the self-titled album. Because that one, I mean, it's really good. It's one I think that you'll appreciate more once you know the depth of their catalog.
That's a great point. And you know, it's, and that's kind of the way I, not by plan, not by any plan at all, but just because of the way circumstances went, that's how it happened for me. And I find my appreciation of that first album much greater for knowing what they had done on other records. Very well said, Kevin. Yeah, that's a great observation. Anything else on your notes on Sale and Choose you want to share?
Nope, that's pretty much it, I think.
Cool. All right, well, I'll put you on the spot. I'll give you a second, though. You're going to think of a song to play out with here. But I want to say to everybody who's listening, thank you for doing that. And huge thanks to Kevin, as always, for coming up with this idea. Originally, Bud Verge was going to join us, but he couldn't make it at the recording time, kind of at the last minute. So if Bud has any other thoughts that he wants to get in touch, him or anybody else, you know, can get in touch with us. You can find us on social media at SuburbsPod. And if you want to record a few thoughts on Little Feet or on these two albums or disagree with anything Kevin and I said, feel free to do so. You can record a voice note on your phone or on your home recording equipment and email it to rock@suburbspod.com. And Kevin and I will be happy to record another episode if needed with any comments. So Kevin, I appreciate it so much, man. What do you think we should play out with?
So I think since it's the last song on the album, I think it'd be good to go out with Texas Rose Cafe. I think that'd be a nice.
Totally love it. Totally love that pick. I love that song too. All right. Well, folks, a little bit of Little Feet for you on Rockin' the Suburbs. And I don't think we've talked about Little Feet hardly at all. So, Kevin, thanks. This is a great idea to talk about these two records. May it send us all down Little Feet rabbit holes for a little while. That's not a bad place to be. That's for sure.
Definitely. I definitely recommend it. Like I said, I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I definitely love their work. So yeah, I would definitely recommend giving them a shot.
Absolutely. Your passion for the band definitely comes through when you're talking about it. So, all right, folks, we're going to take you out with Texas Rose Cafe from Sale and Shoes, released in 1972 by the great Little Feet. And with that, we will talk to you guys later.
Picked up on the phone in Houston, everybody answered. Everybody answered, but they won't say why. Then this dancer grabbed me, down by the bus stop. She said, I'm taking you with me to the Texas Rose Cafe.
I have a fast car, it's a Jaguar, and I'll get you to the plane on time. Bring a Lone Star, bring a guitar.
And legs, like, you know, made into kind of a human, and it's swinging on a tree swing, just